Good morning, church. As Pastor Nathan has told you, he is going to be back next week. We've heard a lot of good sermons. Don spoke on contentment. Lisa spoke on a pond versus a river, which Elizabeth spoke on doubt. And Bernard spoke last week on faith. Today's message is a warning and a promise. You're going to hear me repeat several points over and over and over. And so you get it.
Yeah.
So I get it.
Yeah.
So I've been going through a hard time past few months. During one of my whining, crying, snot slinging, begging God to deliver me, the Lord laid this on my heart. And I took it out, and then the Lord had me put it back in. Somebody here needs to hear it. When you're going through a hard time, God reminds you, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I am imperfect, made perfect by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not the only one. Every one of you are. I'm emotional, broken, scarred, but made whole by the blood of the cross. I have been discouraged, defeated, depressed, but I am redeemed and blessed by my Savior, Jesus Christ. I was lost, but now I'm found by the King of Kings. I have been restored, healed, and made new by the grace and mercy of God Himself. I have received forgiveness, pardon, and released from the chains of my sins, and washed clean by the spotless Lamb. I think somebody here needs to hear that today. See, God loves you, and He sees you right where you're at, in the situation you're dealing with, in your brokenness, in your pain, in your sorrow, in your hurt, in your joy, in everything. God sees you right where you're at. He's not left me, and He won't leave you. With that being said, I'm one of God's children. It took me a long time to realize that the one that spoke the universe into creation chose me. Some of God's children have many talents, and some don't. Some of God's children are beautiful inside and out, and some He's still working on. Some have gifts, and some don't. Some are smart, some have knowledge and understanding of God's word. And some, the Lord has to break it on down, make it simple. And that would be me. I've asked the guys to show a picture. So you see this picture and you think, now what does this got to do with what you're going to speak on today? So let me explain. When I was talking about Lord breaking it on down, I'm going to explain it to you. This is a picture of Zoe. Zoe is Don's dog. Now Zoe loves Don with every part of her being. It just makes her day to see him. She's got to be touching him. She's got to know where he's at. She loves him. So last fall, we went to Maggie Valley for a few days. That's where I took the picture. And Zoe was with us. We got there late, and Don had to go get food. So she got in that position, and she stood there at that door, and she waited. She would run to the door, and she would run back, and she'd go back, and she'd wait. Now, he is gone for a good bit, probably over an hour or so, and she would wait, and she would listen, and she would run back. And then the Lord spoke to me. You need to be like Zoe, Kathy. need to be watching and waiting, anticipating my return. You need to have the same care and concern that she has for Don's return as you should have for mine. So today, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about being ready, watching, and waiting for our Lord's to return. I usually like to start with a question, but I have three questions for you today. Are you ready for Jesus Christ to return? Are you watching with anticipation? Are you waiting patiently for Christ's return? Throughout the Bible, Jesus calls his followers to be ready, keep watching, and faithfully wait. This is not a sit on your hands action or just show up on Sunday morning for 1 hour. But it describes a life of faith, obedience, and expectation. Today I'd like to look at each one of these calls so that we can understand how Jesus tries to tell us over and over in the Bible. These verses that I'm going to read today are Jesus' words, Jesus' call for the church, and Jesus' warning, he is coming. The first call is, are you ready? Are you living in expectation of Christ's return? Jesus calls his followers to live every day for his return. Matthew 24, 36 through 44 says, but about the day or the hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, and up to Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and swept them away. So will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one up the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill and one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch because you do not know the day on which your Lord will come. But understand this, if the homeowner had known in which watch of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour you do not expect. These are strong words from our Savior. We live in a world that prepares us for many things, for winter storms, retirement, vacation, special events, weddings. Yet the greatest event in history, the returning of Jesus Christ, and many people will not be prepared. In these verses, Jesus reminds us that no one knows the day or the hour of his coming. Verse 36, oh, technical difficulty. Oh, I got it. Verses 36 through 39, Jesus says, but of that day, an hour no one knows. The people in Noah's day lived normal lives. They eat and drank. They married and give in marriage. No, going on about their daily routine. There's nothing wrong with their activities. But they ignored the warning from God through Noah. They were so focused on their earthly lives that they failed to prepare for the coming judgment. There is something that we can learn from their mistakes. We should let everyday responsibilities distract us from our eternal reality. for what God has called us to do. Be ready. Every day is one day closer to Christ's return, if it is not today. That's the reality. He could come that fast. 2 Peter 3:9-10. The Lord is not slow to keep his promises, as some understand slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting anything to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and its works will lay barren. Church, today I ask you to get ready. Be ready, because Christ's return will be sudden. Jesus describes two people working together. One is taken and one is left. His point here is that his returning will bring sudden separation. Outward people may appear to be the same, working together, but spiritually they are different. One will be prepared and one will not. Church attendance alone cannot prepare you. Family relationships cannot save you. Each person must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Verse 42 tells us to be ready by watching. What does that mean? We need to stay spiritually alert. We need to remain faithful in prayer. We need to live our lives in obedience to his word. We should be expecting Christ's returning with hope, not dread, with hope. As believers, we should not live our lives in fear of his return, but with anticipation, like Zoe did with Dawn. She ran back and forth. She couldn't wait till he got back. That's the way we should be. Verse 43 and 44 tells us to be ready by living faithfully every day. In these verses, Jesus compares his coming to a thief in the night. The thief does not announce his arrival. Jesus' lesson here is to be prepared. What does being ready really mean? Yeah, I'm going to repeat it again. Walking daily with Christ in obedience, confessing our sins, serving others faithfully, living a holy life, staying faithful in prayer, reading and studying God's word, keeping our hearts surrendered to God, and turn away from our sins. Preparation for Christ's return is not at a last minute. It is a daily lifestyle that we have to work at every day, even when we don't want to. The next point is, are you watching for the Master's return? In Matthew 25:1-13, Jesus uses the parable of the 10 virgins to emphasize spiritual readiness. The call to watch in verse 13 is not about predicting the exact time of his return, but about living faithfully, because we do not know when he is coming. Matthew 25:1-13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven was like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take along extra oil. But the wise ones, however, took oil in flasks along with their lamps. When the bridegroom was at a long time in coming, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our oil, our lamps are gone out. No, they replied, they may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Throughout Scripture, God calls his people to be watchful. Jesus tells a parable because he knew his disciples would be tempted to become distracted, discouraged, and spiritually careless while waiting for his return. To teach the importance of being spiritually alert, he told the parable of the 10 virgins. The same goes for the church today. All 10 were watching. All 10 carried lamps. All 10 expected the bridegroom to come. Yet only 5 were truly prepared when he arrived. This parable reminds us that it is not enough to appear ready. We must actually be ready. In this parable, the bridegroom represents Jesus Christ. The 10 virgins represents who professes to be waiting for him, the church. The wise virgins were prepared. They had oil in their lamps. The foolish waited also for the Lord, but they were not ready for the bridegroom to return. They had run out of oil. They run out of faith. The delay of the bridegroom had tested every one of them. In the church, many people begin well but grow spiritually careless. Watching means remaining faithful during the waiting, during the trials, during the troubles, during the situation. Wait. God's got it. In this parable, verse 6 through 9, a midnight cry rang out. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. A midnight cry rang out while they were asleep. Suddenly, preparation became everything. The foolish virgins discovered that borrowing faith would not help them. No one could give them all they lacked. They couldn't give them faith. They discovered that each person must have a personal relationship with the bridegroom, with Christ. No one can save them. No one is saved because their parents are Christians, or because they attend church every Sunday, or because they even know the Bible, or because they live good lives. Salvation comes only through faith in Christ. He is the only way. The time is to prepare for now. It will be too late at the return of Christ. It will be too late at the midnight cry. The door will be shut. When the bridegroom came unexpectedly, only the prepared entered the wedding feast. Only the prepared. Verses 10 through 12, the foolish virgins went to buy oil. The bridegroom arrived. They were unprepared. Verse 10, they that were ready went in with him into the marriage, and the door was shut. When they later cried, Lord, Lord, open to us, the answer came, verily I say unto you, I do not know you. Those words are sobering words in the scripture. God's invitation is open today, but it will not remain open forever. There is coming a day when the opportunity to prepare will pass. Verse 13, Jesus concludes the parable by, with watching, therefore. This watching means living with spiritual alertness. Here I go again. Praying continually, reading and obeying God's word, guarding your heart against temptation and sin, discerning of the times without becoming fearful, but with anticipation. Living with expectation that Jesus will come. He will return. Staying spiritually awake with our lamps full of oil. Watching is not standing still looking at the sky. It is faithfully serving while expecting the King to return. The last one. Are you waiting on the Master's return? Luke 12:35-14. Again, these are Jesus' words. Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve and will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose masters find them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not let his house be broken into. Yet also must be ready. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect it. Today we live in a world that does not wait. We want instant answers, instant results, and instant gratification. Yet throughout Scripture, God's people are called to wait from Genesis to Revelation. Not in frustration, but in faith. Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Joseph, Israel, David, the disciples, and now the church is called to wait for his return. In these verses in Luke that I read, Jesus teaches his disciples how to live while waiting for his return. Dressed for service, lamps burning, prepared, alert, just like Zoe was waiting on dawn to return. Our Christian life should not be a life of passion waiting, but an active, faithful life in expectation of his return. Jesus reminds us that our Master is coming again, and those who are ready will be blessed. Jesus compares his followers to servants waiting for their master to return for the wedding feast. They don't know the exact time he will come, but the servants stay dressed, prepared, and alert. Here Jesus paints a picture of servants prepared to service. In biblical times, servants would tuck their robes into their belts so they could run quickly, they could move quickly, so they could run to meet the master as he returns. They kept their lamps burning throughout the night. This is a picture of believers ready for Christ's return. Waiting on Christ means living each day in obedience, prayer, and faith. We should be spiritually prepared at all times because his return will be unexpected. We should be ready to run and meet the master. Our garments should be prepared to serve quickly without hesitation. Our lamps burning and ready. Christ's return should not be feared, but eagerly anticipated. It is our blessed hope. His coming will bring justice, eternal joy, and fulfillment of God's promises. Jesus is coming to gather his people, his bride, us. Every tear will be wiped away, every trial will end, and he will be our Lord forever. Verse 37, 38, Jesus promises a blessing to those who remain faithful until he comes. Our faithfulness is shown by continuing to worship, serve, forgive, witness, trust God during our difficult times. Many begin the race well, but Jesus is looking for those who will finish the race well. Verse 39 and 40, Jesus compares his coming to a thief. The point is not Jesus coming secretly, but is that his coming will be unexpected. Again, I'll repeat these points. We must guard our hearts. We must avoid spiritual laziness. We must remain alert. We must keep our focus on Jesus and not the world. Those who are faithfully waiting for Christ are promised joy beyond imagination. Isaiah 40:31, but those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Those will mount up on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. This is a blessing in waiting. Jesus teaches, just keep the faith. Those who wait on God will never wait in vain. God strengthens, he encourages, and he sustains his people as they remain faithful. In concluding, Jesus promised he is coming again. His return will be sudden, certain, and glorious. We do not know the day or the hour, but we know his promise is true. This should be our hope, our strength, to endure hardships and to remain faithful. His call to the church is clear. Be ready, keep watching, and continue waiting with faithful service until he appears. If Jesus returned today, would we be found faithful? Are we watching with expectation or living as though he will never come back? Are we truly prepared? Is our faith genuine or merely outward? My hope is that he finds us faithful, rejoicing, worshiping with joy, watching our lamps burning brightly, our hearts prepared, dressed for service, our hands busy doing his work. Let us live each day as though today could be the day we hear the trumpet sound. We see our Savior's face. Oh, what a day that will be.
Amen.
As the worship team comes up, this is a hard message. It was hard to pull it together because this is a warning. It's scary because you got to look inside yourself and you got to say, am I ready? Are they anything between me and you, Lord? Are they anything? Search yourself. This morning as we close, my invitation to you is that if you have never trusted Christ, let today be the day. Do not delay until tomorrow, because tomorrow is not promised. If you have grown spiritually sleepy, wake up. Renew your commitment to the Lord. Your commitment to watch, to pray, to serve, to be faithful. If you are weary from waiting, remember his promise that he will return for his bride. Church, we are his bride. He's our hope.